I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. This summer, Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro announced the findings of a bombshell grand jury report alleging that 301, quote, pedophile priests in six Pennsylvania dioceses sexually abused more than 1,000 children dating as far back as the late 1940s. One of the victim's survivors is State Representative Mark Rossi, who spearheaded a bill that overwhelmingly passed the House in September, creating a two-year window for lawsuits from those who claim abuse that happened decades ago. The Senate could take up the bill when it gets back to Harrisburg next week. We asked Katie Meyer to join us. She is WITF State Capitol Bureau Chief, who reports on Pennsylvania state government for WHYY, including Radio Times. And Katie Meyer, nice to have you back with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Any questions about this particular issue, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Katie, what has been the impact of this grand jury report and the announcement by the Attorney General in Harrisburg on the legislature?
I think it was really more than anything a call to action. This bill has been in the works for a long time, and Mark Rossi has been, you know, really sort of doing a robust push that entire time. But now, you know, with this report, I think there was such an increased sense of urgency. I think finally, Rossi was able to get, first of all, the attention he, you know, needed in order to really rally public support behind this thing. And I think at this point, there's very few lawmakers who would say they do not support some sort of changes to the statute of limitations.
Let's talk a bit about the House bill, which did pass. What is in that bill?
So there's a lot of things in the bill. Basically, the fundamental features of it, it would get rid of the statute of limitations on all child sex abuse cases and would also extend the cap for victims to file civil suits against institutions. So those are sort of things that I think nobody's really contesting. One of the significant things that it does, though, that is going to cause a bit of tension is it makes this window, a two-year window for retroactive lawsuits against, you know, institutions. And that means if you're a person who was assaulted as a child and your statute of limitations has expired because it used to be much shorter, this would allow you to sue on an old case. And so that's been a really, like, key central issue for a lot of the people pushing this bill, but that's also been the most controversial component.
You said the word institution, so we're talking even beyond the Catholic Church?
Yes, it would. It would go beyond the Catholic Church, this would include public and private institutions. And while we're on this, I should also add that that's another point of contention in this bill, because there are different standards for, what you can basically do as far as these institutions go. So, for instance, the bill requires a higher burden of proof for if you're going to sue a public institution. The standard for, you know, punishing an institution, a public institution that lets an abuser go unreported is gross negligence, whereas it's regular negligence in a private institution. Uh-huh. And also, there's a cap on compensation for victims in public institutions. So anyway, that's all in this bill that the House passed. And the Senate got it, and they say, well, that doesn't work for us, this public-private thing, because they think that it's really creating two different classifications of victims. And so that's one of the concerns they brought up with it.
And referring to institutions again, does that include government agencies?
It can, yes.
There were something, I think there were 21 people in the House who voted against this bill. What were the variety of reasons?
You know, they sort of run the gamut, but I think the retroactivity provision, that two-year window that I mentioned before, that really is the key one. The public-private tension, I believe that was also one of the things that people brought up, but really that retroactivity window is tough for some people. The Catholic Church opposes it. They want to do a compensation fund for victims, something other than allowing themselves to be sued for old cases. The concern there for them is that if lots and lots of old cases are suddenly opened for lawsuits, that could cost them a lot of money, and there have been concerns that churches could go bankrupt.
And this compensation fund or victims compensation fund, does that exist?
It does not exist currently, no. And some, you know, and Mark Rossi, I think, is a good example. He has said it's too late for that. It's too little, too late. So they are against the compensation fund. They don't think it goes far enough.
You mentioned the Senate Majority Leader Jake Corman, President Pro Tem Joe Scarnati. Mm. I'm assuming these two members of the Senate are going to call the shots on this?
Yeah, I think in most cases, you know, obviously they do have to get the support of their members, but, you know, where goes the leadership goes the body often. So, yes, I think those two are going to be key in deciding where this goes now. And, you know, Scarnati in particular has been a very outspoken opponent of that retroactivity window.
And is this a partisan issue? Does it divide along partisan lines?
I wouldn't say so, no. You know, you see more people who are, for instance, like very committed to the Catholic Church having, you know, issue with the retroactivity provision. So, you know, I mean, sometimes is a partisan breakdown is seen in that, but I would not call it a partisan issue.
Now, my understanding is that when it comes to the Senate, there are just a handful of voting days before the end of the year. Katie, you know Harrisburg more than I do. Help us understand what that means.
Yeah, so we're really running into some crunch time here. So the Senate was not in this week. The House was in this week. So the House has been busy pushing over a bunch of bills that the Senate's going to either need to concur on or act on if they want to get it to the governor's desk before the end of the session. So right now, the Senate is scheduled to be in for 4 more days. Now, that's not set in stone. They could always add more, but it's 4 days on the schedule. So that's the 3 days next week, the 15th, 16th, and 17th, and then the 14th of November. So we're really not talking a lot of time for them to, you know, figure this whole thing out. And it's going to be a lift, you know, getting this abuse bill passed. It's not going to be easy to come to a consensus. The House had this bill for a long, long time.
Well, I'm curious. Let's say the Senate comes up with something different. Would it then go back to the House and then go back to the Senate?
Yes, that's exactly what would happen. So if you have a bill, they have basically 2 options. So, you know, if the Senate just was like, okay, we're going to adopt the House's version, bing, bang, boom, we're done, they didn't change it at all, they could just pass it on to the governor, he could sign it.
Right.
That's not what they're going to do. They've said they fully intend to change this bill. So the Senate is going to, you know, and this is if they even can come to a consensus, they're going to change it, they're going to put in the language that they want, they're going to send it back over to the House. The House can either concur on it or they can change it again, and then, you know, it would have to go back, it would go to the governor. Basically, it only goes to the governor if the two bodies fully agree on what's in it.
And if we're talking about 4 voting days, of course, there are many other days before the end of the year. Mm. Let's say there is not some kind of agreement. What happens in 2019?
Well, when the session ends, all bills, no matter what they are, they go away. They have to be started again from scratch. So if this thing doesn't get, you know, passed to the governor and signed by the end of this legislative session, it's dead. Oh. And they're going to have to restart it next year. Now, I will say, I mean, if that does happen, we've, you know, got a head start now. We're really, really close to the finish line. So it's not like they're going to be starting totally from scratch. But the bill just has to go through the entire legislative process again. So, you know, introduction, committees, all that jazz.
Has Governor Wolf said what he would look for in a bill, what he would be willing to sign or not sign?
He has. And obviously, you know, I think his priority is to get something passed. So if something, for instance, went to him without a retroactivity provision, I'm not sure that he would say no to it. Mm. But he does support that provision, which is, you know, as I said, the most controversial part of it.
Have there been protests in Harrisburg, either big or little protests related to this issue?
There have, yeah. And this isn't like even just a recent thing. I mean, I've been covering Harrisburg for over 2 years now, and there have been protests on this issue on and off that entire time, and I think before that as well. But yes, lately there have been many more, specifically when the House was in session the other week and they passed the first, you know, their version of this bill. You saw a lot of survivors of, you know, sexual abuse, you know, child sexual abuse, and their families and the people who support them, a lot of them in the Capitol, yes.
And I'm assuming the other side is the Archdiocese, obviously worried about all these lawsuits, maybe the insurance companies as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think there definitely is an insurance angle to this. So, yes, I would say absolutely.
Do you see this as being, what, about a month away from the election? I guess in a month from now, we will know who will have won in Pennsylvania. Do you think this is an election issue?
You know, everything's an election issue, right? But yes, I do. I think this is one of those things that a voter can look at and see and have a really visceral response to, right? It doesn't feel complicated. It feels like we should be giving, and this is, you know, what a lot of people say is we should be giving, you know, childhood victims of sexual abuse every opportunity to seek recourse in their adulthood. And, you know, there's not a lot of people who would contest that. The question is, you know, if there is a lawmaker who really holds out against retroactivity, for instance, if there's somebody who really, you know, stands in the way of that bill getting passed, which, you know, some people could do if they feel really strongly about it, it could definitely become an election issue for them. And certainly for somebody like Mark Rossi, this is his, you know, and for good reason, it's a personal issue to him, but it's really his main thing that he would be campaigning on.
And speaking of the election, any news either from the governor's race or the Senate race, I'm thinking for some of these statewide races in Pennsylvania?
So really for the governor's race, I think, you know, we had a debate the other week. And
hosted by Alex Trebek, it must be said, right?
It must be said, yes, a very interesting debate moderated by Alex Trebek. You know, for the governor's race, I think the narrative, if you want to go that far and say that right now, is that Tom Wolf is really trying to play, a quiet, close to the vest game here. He's, you know, leading in the polls. He's leading as far as fundraising goes by quite a lot. And so he's well positioned to, if nothing sort of crazy happens, he's well positioned to skate through this. It appears right now. And so you see Scott Wagner running, you know, a lot of digital ads. You see him trying to, like, kind of pick away at Wolf in whatever ways he can. But it's been sort of an interesting race to watch in that, you know, Wolf has been, you know, very reluctant to really engage too much.
Playing it safe, I guess. And
how
about the Senate race?
I mean, I think you see a lot of the same right there. Bob Casey has out-fundraised, and no huge surprise, but out-fundraised his competitor Lou Barletta by quite a lot, significant margins in both of these top races. And so you really see the same thing. You don't see Bob Casey doing a whole lot of attention-getting stuff. And you see Lou Barletta, and you have seen Lou Barletta over the course of this entire race just trying to get his name recognition up.
And we're out of time here, just about, Katie, but certainly some congressional races in Pennsylvania that are being very closely watched, feeling that they could be bellwether one way or the other.
Yes, absolutely. I think the Rospis race is a really interesting one. You know, Keith Rospis, Connor Lamb, that's one where, like, the GOP has sort of reduced its funding to Keith Rospis, an incumbent, so that'll be interesting to watch. I think really one of the only true toss-ups is the first congressional district. So, I mean, and we'll be covering that, I'm sure, much more in the coming weeks. But Pennsylvania, it has to be said, is this a big, big state to watch as far as Congress goes.
Well, Katie Meyer, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. WITF State Capitol Bureau Chief joining us from Harrisburg, talking about climate change after this short break. We'll be right back.